Welcome to Demystifying Franchise Ownership, the podcast that brings you expert advice, transparency, and clarity around franchise ownership. Whether you are a prospective or current franchisee or franchisor, or simply curious about the topic, say hello to your host, Christine Givens.
Welcome back to Demystifying Franchise Ownership, where I share my knowledge, experience, and hard-earned lessons learned about franchise ownership. This week's episode is a continuation of my conversation with Bennett Maxwell, the chairman of Dirty Dough Cookies. In this episode, Bennett and I talk about how he grew his personal brand using social media and specifically LinkedIn, the social media support Dirty Dough provides its franchisees, and Dirty Dough's biggest challenges and their approach to challenges. Talk to me about how, I know part of how you grew the franchise units or the number of franchise units sold so quickly was you grew your own personal brand. Talk about how you did that.
Yeah, it was about 2 years ago. I was just part of a mastermind and they talked about the importance of building your own brand. And I've just never bought into it. I would post two or three times a year for my wife and kids' birthday. And then I'd always forget some, you know, like I just wasn't out there. And my mentality was, I don't want to start something. I'm a big believer in the E-Myth Revisited book. If you've ever heard of that, it's the entrepreneur myth of you're not an entrepreneur. Just because you own your business doesn't mean you're, you know, a true entrepreneur. You just own your own job. And it's actually kind of a crappy job at times because you work the most amount of hours and you get paid last. So you need to build a business that can run without you. So I've always kind of had that mentality. And I still believe that. So I'm like, I don't want to start hosting every day because I'm like, that's a big chore and that has to be on me. Well, it actually doesn't. I have a team out of, you know, I have a video editor out of the Philippines and I have a social media manager. And it's average wage in the Philippines is like $4 an hour. You pay them six, you're 50% above, and they could post, comment, put videos together, do long form posts. Like I just record podcast. I have my own podcast and they take the clips, come up with captions, turn them into long form posts to different things. Anyways, so I did find a way to automate that. Kind of fast forward 2 years, LinkedIn has definitely been the most productive tool. I grew my following on Instagram to 80 something thousand followers, but it's kind of random people all over the place. Where there's tools with LinkedIn, I mean, 2 years ago, I'd never post on LinkedIn. Today I have over 15,000 followers and most of them are CEOs, investors, franchise owners, franchise operators, because there's software that you can use. I use one called connected.io. And I think I chose seven keywords: CEO, entrepreneur, advisor, investor, private equity. I don't know what I forgot the seven. And then it will automate targeting them. Anybody who's a second connection, it sends out a bunch of invites. After so many days, it withdraws them so you don't get flagged by LinkedIn. And then I went from zero to 15,000 followers. And I actually just checked this. And I've had, I don't know, two or 3 million impressions over the last 2 years. And that's really what's driven the business. On the franchise side, we've never paid for a lead that's converted to a sell. It's all referrals or social media, and Dirty Dough social media doesn't advertise that we franchise. So it's most all of it has been just from my personal brand and being consistent with posting once or twice a day.
And that, I think it makes the franchise fee, the initial franchise fee to the franchisee more cost effective because you're not having to pay layers of sales, you know, sales functions because, yeah. Right? Because you're growing it organically through your own network.
No, that's huge. Definitely. I heard about how much brokers charge. You know, like they want you to raise your franchise fee to $60,000 so they could take 30 and you could sell 30. I'm like, what? $30,000 to sell a franchise? Anyways, so yes, I think that's how we funded the business is franchise fees. And there's no way we could have if we were giving up, you know, 40-50% of the commissions or of the franchise fees as commissions.
How do you help the franchisees leverage social media?
Right now we have the corporate social media and we have allowed franchisees to do their own social media if they're going to be consistent with it. And it's providing them with one, you know, the marketing ideas on what to post and to push, which, you know, I ran through a handful of those before, but also the social media assets. So making sure that if people are going to promote their business, which we want them to do, it's on brand, it's the right messaging, the fonts, the colors, all of that. So we have our own social media library and asset list so they can go pull different videos and pictures of the different cookies and then all of the text of, buy four cookies, get one free or whatever, if there's different promotions or things like that, fundraising, catering, B2B, just having those tools for them so they can greater use that rather than just kind of guess. I'm like,
Right.
oh, I hope
Do they
this
each,
post does better.
yeah, right. Do they each have their own website, or do you have one national website with the locations listed?
Yes, the second one. We have a national website with the locations, and then same with the app. So they go to the corporate app or website, and then they can get in contact and see the different locations, order from each of the locations. And then that way, franchisees don't have to manage it, and then we can keep everything brand. And we did see that in social media when more and more franchisees opened up their own Facebook pages because we were allowing that. It decreased the strength of the corporate one and kind of disseminated, all of the followings and the engagement over a lot. And we didn't feel like that was super great for the brand. So again, if franchisees right now are allowing it, only if you're doing it. Like most franchisees aren't going to do it. They're not going to be posting daily or every other day. But if they are, that we think it's worth it. If not, let's just funnel everybody to the corporate pages.
I know when you and I spoke, you mentioned that you're not doing a lot of national advertising. However, what people, if you haven't yet worked with SEO and all that, which I'm not knowledgeable about that. That was a whole learning curve for me when I became a franchisee. If you have to maintain your own website, individual website, you're going to have to be looking at your own SEO. Having that one unified website with you managing it has got to be such a huge time saver, money saver, everything for the franchisees. So, in effect, you are doing some national advertising, I would say, through your SEO, et cetera, on your website. I think that's a huge benefit for people.
Yeah, I definitely. There's no way that, I mean, just like you said, that it was a learning curve for you. I'm still trying to figure it out, but we
Oh,
do
I
have
know.
the time and the tension and the funds to do it one time well, right? But not everybody has it, to do it 60 times well. So really funneling everything, that definitely helps us and it helps the franchisees, it helps the brand overall. But yeah, we're
I
not
totally agree.
outside of that. I don't think we're doing, I mean, we're still so small, 60 stores. Throwing up a billboard when you have one store in the area is not going to be as effective as doing, localized TV ads on Hulu within a 5-mile radius of that store, pushing them and having the address of the store there. So
Yeah.
we're really focused on the localized versus national until we get larger.
Yeah, I think that totally makes sense. For example, the franchise in which I invested, we were each paying, social media experts. I use quotes there. I don't, they weren't necessarily experts, each paying probably $1,000 a month. And there were, I don't know, 70 of us. Think about if you had grouped those funds instead and focused on one national. I mean, it, you would have had so much more traction, I think, in each market versus us trying to do it individually. Wasn't effective.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, getting that same $1,000, at least in the food world, what I've seen is the best return on investment is third party. So DoorDash, Uber Eats, delivery, you throw, or sorry, Uber Eats, DoorDash, Grubhub, all of the delivery ones, you throw $1,000 at that. And it's very unique in Facebook and Google, they charge you per click, per impression, regardless if they order. Well, these other platforms, they don't. They only charge you if there's a checkout. So it's pretty consistent that you can get four, five, sometimes a 6x return. So you get $1,000 rather than kind of wasting time on the website, give it to DoorDash. And, throughout the year, maybe that's $12,000. Maybe that's causing a 50% increase in sales. Depending what your margins are on that, you're making the majority of that money back into your pocket, in profits.
Absolutely. I know from talking to you as well that you really look at the metrics and what is your return on marketing and advertising dollars. And that is so key for franchisees to understand and have that information so they can make decisions.
Yes, this is me last night up till who knows, looking at week by week sales data for the last 2 years. I guess not even 2 years, year and a half. And then averaging it out, taking out all the zeros, and then building a graph so I could see the trends. And then it's, hey, what caused this spike? Hey, what caused this spike? And it is so helpful to see, like, okay, you know, there's some seasonality, but there's also some promotions at play, and there's also the grand openings and who's doing what. So I love it. I get lost in it. Sometimes it's a little too kind time consuming, but it is very, very valuable to know where you were at, where you are at, and where you're headed.
Sounds like you're becoming a marketing expert. No?
I don't know. I think, yeah, I don't know. I have a long way to become even a marketing, what's the level below an expert, an average person? I don't know. I'm figuring it
Apprentice?
out though. I'm trying.
Talk about what have you been your biggest challenges since you started franchising?
We were in a lawsuit before we opened up our first store, and there's a lot of good and bad about that. It was from Crumbl, which was at the time they just threw up a billboard right in front of our office, pretty much, that says we sell 1 million cookies a day. Well, you could do the math on that. You know, 1 million cookies. I know what they sell their cookies for because I could see their menu pricing. I know how many stores they have open because it's on their website. And then you do the math, and I know what the royalty, because again, I have access to that as well. Any company that franchises in California, a handful of states, you can look up their FDD. They were a $1 billion company already. And I'm like, oh crap, these guys are suing us. Like, we have zero franchises open. So that was hard, but it did give us a lot of exposure. And going back to that, kind of the social media thing, a lot of that was because of the lawsuit and how we responded to that. We did some billboards and some commercials and made national news on a few different channels. So it caused an increase of franchise sales, which was great, but it also means you have to open up more franchises faster, which is hard. It's great because our whole business plan is on unit economic or economies of scale. If I'm buying flour at a centralized location and I'm buying 50-pound bags of flour, or I buy a super sack of 2,000 pounds and then I go to truckloads every time it gets cheaper. So there's pros and cons to all of that, but rewind 11 or 13 months, so a year and a month, we had 7 stores open. So we've averaged over a store a week over the last year, and then sprinkle in a dozen food trucks over the last year as well. That's been very, very challenging to grow that fast, both from a capital standpoint, because anything that, you know, I'm funding the training and all of that, and the handholding, the moment they sign the franchise agreement, all the way up until they open. And then I also have to carry the weight of the cost of the cookies, and I always have to be at least 10 weeks in advance of that. So cash flow has been very difficult, but also bandwidth. It's hard to hire. We went from 0 to over 150 employees in less than a year. You know, that includes some corporate stores, and that's been hard. So a lot of great things with the rapid growth, but a lot of things that I want to pull my hair out on, and I lose sleep over.
Well, the labor market, I can see that would be really, really hard. Well, all those things are very challenging. Is the litigation resolved?
Yeah, 4 or 5 months
Good.
ago, completely
Oh,
behind
good.
us, and it ended really well for us. So yeah, I mean, overall, it gave us a ton of exposure, and we sold hundreds of franchises and, you know, collected way more money than we could ever dreamed of in franchise fees. But that gave us the unforeseen challenge of, okay, well, go from 7 to 70 franchises in a year. And it's like, okay, I'll do my best. And you know, there's so many bumps in the road.
Yeah. How do you think you and the organization in general deal with challenges? How do you approach them?
I mean, challenges are definitely opportunities. And I do meditation every single morning, in my I have my like my morning routine things, and I jump in 35 degree water for 5 minutes, and then I get into the sauna and I
Oh,
throw on some meditation, and
I
that
don't
wakes me
do
up.
that.
And in that meditation, a lot of it is, and I also, you know, host a podcast focused on joy and fulfillment, and, you know, sharing a lot of these techniques. One that I personally use, and I think that I've also had a lot of employees as guests on the podcast, so hopefully they're trying some of these out, is we know business is hard. We know life is hard. So when something happens that's hard, like, don't be surprised about it, right? Like, it's just an opportunity to overcome, and you can overcome anything with the right knowledge and people, right? It's just, if somebody else has done it, is there anything in the world that they did that you can't learn how to do? And the answer is pretty much always no, right? So it's just looking at it through a different lens and like, okay, here's the challenge. Let's go overcome it together. And I think a big portion of that was the lawsuit and how we overcame that, and we turned, very negative into a very positive for the company. I think that also really set the culture of how we operate and how we look at, when life gives you lemons, make lemonades. I mean, we had billboards on the freeway, and again, it's like our headquarters in Crumbl were kind of across the street, and we had cookies so good we're being sued, and it had like a cookie with a blurred out image, and it said censored, and let your taste buds be the judge, and a handful of different sayings. So kind of that lighthearted playfulness and overcoming challenges also definitely attributes to sanity while you're trying to figure out life.
I need to look and see. Is there a dirty dough in, you said in Illinois. Where is it in Illinois? Is it
That
in
one's in
Chicago?
Rockford. It's not. We
Rockford.
have a,
Okay.
yeah, Rockford, Illinois, and we have a few opening up, by the end of the year in Illinois. But no, nothing
You
else is
have one
open
in
yet.
Indiana. Yeah. Well, I'm in Bloomington, Indiana, which is 4 hours south of Chicago, but there's one in Indianapolis. That's only an hour away. So I'm gonna. Oh, is that okay? I know exactly where it is. So I'm gonna have to
We also
go
have
try
one.
one.
I'm not super familiar with the geography over there, but Fort Wayne, Indiana, if that's a little closer,
Oh
we have
yeah.
one there. And then I
Yeah.
think we have three, yeah, in the Indianapolis area.
Cool. Oh, okay. Three in Indy. Oh, all right. Well, I'm gonna try one. I'm gonna when you when I try it, I'm gonna text you.
Yes, please do.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining today. It has been a pleasure to get to know you and your company. I'm really impressed with just the type of person you are and how you clearly care about your franchisees. So, thanks for coming on today.
I appreciate it. It was great being on. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, do you want to give your contact information and plug anything else? I know you
Yeah.
said you have a podcast of your own. What's the name of that?
It's called Deeper Than Dough. So more than money, finding joy and fulfillment, without chasing the, I don't know, most of entrepreneurs are type A personality. It's goal, 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 goal. I achieve the goal. I don't really enjoy it. I just set the next one. I tell myself I'm going to be happier when. So that's what the podcast Deeper Than Dough. Kind of find it everywhere. My personal social medias as well: LinkedIn, Instagram, Bennett Maxwell or Bennett Maxwell 35 on Instagram. And I'm posting typically twice a day, or my email bennett@dirtydough.com. Love. I mean, I've had so many people help me out because I jumped in from solar into owning a franchise without knowing the difference between a franchisee and a franchisor. And I've been so blessed to have other people give me really, really good advice and free advice. So any way I can give back, love to do that.
That's amazing. Well, thanks again for joining, and we'll be in touch, I'm sure.
Okay, thank you so much.
A big thank you to Bennett Maxwell for being a guest on Demystifying Franchise Ownership. Hearing from franchisees is very beneficial to individuals who are considering making a franchise investment, but learning directly from franchisors how they operate is also really helpful in formulating what you want and what you don't want when you actually make a franchise investment. If you'd like to reach out to me via email, don't hesitate by going to my contact page on my website, christinegivens.com. If you're currently evaluating a franchise system, make sure you get my guide called The Ultimate Step-by-Step Guide to Vetting and Evaluating a Franchise Opportunity. You'll also find that resource on my website. As always, tune in next week, and thanks for listening.